Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them, I know who I am. 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 Yes. You know who you are, Papaya. I know who I am. You know who I know who I am. Yes. Do you know who I am? No. I know who I am. It's a good knowing, friends. It's a good knowing to know who you are. A few weeks ago, I gave a talk about the narrow gate and the road, right? The road that leads to the kingdom of God, or that road that leads to the kingdom of good. And as Jesus the Christ said, the few who ever find it, right? So we were talking about that narrow gate that we can, that leads us to enter in, and the road that gets us to the narrow gate, and the few there are that ever find it. This morning I was thinking about that childhood nursery rhyme. Have you ever said, finders keepers, losers weepers? You remember that? And I thought, yes, because if you found it, you got to keep it. And if you lost it, you were weeping, right? I thought for us spiritual beings, it should be finders keepers, losers seekers. Because when we find it, when you find that road and that narrow gate and that way, that passageway that leads to the kingdom of God, you want to keep that. But yet when we don't find that, we're set off on a journey of seeking, right? So it's finders, keepers, losers, seekers. So many of us are still seeking and seeking and seeking. We're seeking God. We're seeking peace and happiness. We're seeking health and wealth and abundance, peace of mind. We're seeking good, solid relationships. We're still seeking a lot. And I always say, at some point, I want to be a finder. I want to be a finder, not just a seeker. And so there is a way that we can find a way to enter into this kingdom of God or the kingdom of good. And it is a narrow way. It's a narrow passageway. Not only is the gate narrow, but the road is a narrow pathway because it entails us merging our consciousness with the divine. That's a way. But it's narrow because you've got to merge your consciousness with the divine or with God, or as we like to say in unity, with that Christ within you. That Christ that lives, moves in you, that's essence of God, the spark of the divine. That is you, and that's that narrow way when we begin to merge. So, in essence, we could say then it's all about consciousness. And if we were to take that even further or deeper, we could say that it's all about the presence, not just consciousness, but the presence, that all-pervading, all-providing, everywhere presence of God the good. And that this consciousness, this that we're trying to merge with the presence, is what we say life is all about. We always say life is consciousness. But I was thinking this morning as I was going over my notes, it's even deeper than consciousness. Because consciousness, we know all the thoughts, the feelings, the attitudes, the perceptions, all that makes up our consciousness. But half the time, we're not even conscious of what's in our consciousness. You know what I'm saying? We just think thoughts and don't even know we're thinking them. We have feelings that just run up in us and we don't even know what we're feeling and why we're feeling it. We're not present. We're not even aware. So it's more than just consciousness, although consciousness is important. And it's more than even being in the presence. It's being aware that you're in that presence. It's being, it's having the conscious awareness of God. So this is what we call the gateway that is within us. This gateway that lies within us is our very own conscious awareness. Not just our consciousness, but our conscious awareness. To be aware is important because awareness is the portal. We're trying to figure how we get through. Awareness is the portal that takes us through that gate. So what I'm saying is the key thing for us is to not only develop a consciousness, but a long-lasting, an ongoing conscious or conscious awareness of God, a long-standing consciousness or awareness of God, not just a few passing thoughts, because most of us from time to time we'll think, oh yeah, let me think about God, or let me thank God when we get something. Okay, oh, thank you, God. So it's sort of like a passing thought, or maybe a glimpse of, we've had some exalted experience. We have a glimpse of the divine. We've had a wonderful experience, a happening, you know, an experience. We say, oh, yes, this is God, but it passes through. And long before we know, we have forgotten it, and we're off to something else. So what we need then is something that's long-lasting, long-standing, this ongoing, not just a passing through, but actually a permanent state of mind. We need a permanent state of being. Don't you want to be in this conscious awareness all the time? Not just because I touch it and go, oh, I want to get that again. Well, what was that? Oh, that felt so good. I want to have that. I've been saying, okay, Lord, I know, because as some of you know, something happened a few weeks ago where the Spirit just descended upon this place. And ever since then, I've been like, ooh, I want to feel that again. I want to have that again. I want that to be a permanent expression in this place and in our lives, a permanent part of our being. That's what we're seeking. So everything that we do, everything that we say and think ought to open us up, ought to bolster and raise our consciousness and raise our vibration, because your vibration is the energy that you put out, and whatever you put out, what it doesn't mean, it comes back to you by law. So we want to raise that vibration, so we're putting out the best and the highest, and that's what comes back, the best and the highest. We want to raise the consciousness, the vibration, and our awareness. Everything that we do to help raise our awareness then helps us to find and enter into the kingdom of God, this kingdom of God consciousness, because I'm not talking about a place that we go to after we die. I'm talking about a place where we live from in this moment, in this life, in this experience, a kingdom of God consciousness, a kingdom of God awareness, right? That's what it's after here, heaven on earth. So I thought, considering that Jesus laid out, the Christ laid out some good road markers for us, some good pointers and some good signposts along the way through his ministry about, hey, if you walk this way, if you do this thing, if you think like this, if you act like this, you just might find that narrow gate. You just might enter into that consciousness. And so I thought that we would, for this particular series, that we would start where he started at the beginning of his teachings, which are found in Matthew, book of Matthew, Mark, Matthew 5, 6, 7. And he began with the Beatitudes. That was the first thing he began as a formal essence of teaching. The Beatitudes, or which we like to say in New Thought, the what? Attitudes of being. How we should be, right? Those thoughts and feelings and perceptions and values and approaches to life that we could actually adopt and use that would help to move us into the right consciousness for kingdom living, for kingdom expression. And when I'm in the kingdom, I mean, I'm ruling over my stuff, right? If I'm in the kingdom, that must mean I'm in charge of certain aspect of how my life is showing up. Okay, so we want to have this, what are the right thoughts, feelings, attitudes, perceptions of being that would lead us into this consciousness? Because these teachings are ancient wisdoms that he shared, but yet they're still great for this 21st century living that we're engaged in, if they're rightly understood and rightly interpreted, right? So we covered the first two Beatitudes last week, and I want to start with the third one today, but I thought I would read them all just so we can become familiar. We've heard them, but it never hurts to hear the word again. And I'm reading from the NIV, which is the New International Version. So it says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I like this last statement. He says, don't get all excited because some trouble is coming in your life. Trouble's been in everybody's life. It came before the prophets and it came before you, so don't worry about it. But here's some things that you can do that will bless you, that will take you into a higher understanding and a higher consciousness and a better way to live. And we all want to be blessed of God. You want to have a blessed life, right? I want to be, what's the phrase? We're blessed. Whenever they say, how you are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. But I don't want that to be just a cliche. I want to wake up and say, ooh, I am so blessed. I can hardly stand it. And you know, my life is so good. I can see evidence of the blessings of God. So this is a consciousness that we're going to work with. So we're going to take the third one this morning. And it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now I want to be clear from the very beginning. Meek does not mean weak. You get that? Let everybody say, meek does not mean weak. Meek, because a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to be meek. I don't want to, oh no, people are going to step all over me and take, You don't have an understanding of what spiritual, the definition spiritually of meek is. Because to be meek is very similar to being open and receptive, as I talked about in the second beatitude. To be open and receptive, but it actually relates more to being humble. To be meek is to be open and receptive and to be humble, not prideful. Not arrogant, not boastful, because we all know people like that, right, that are so full of themselves, right, that they can't even get out of their own way. I want to say, if you could just get out of your way, and God is even saying, if you could get out the way, then I could step in. We don't want to be so full of self that there's no room for God. You don't want to be, I can do it all by myself. I created this life that I have all by myself. No. There's no room for God in that picture. So we're not talking about that. We're talking, it's okay to be have pride in what you're doing, but not being prideful, right? And so what we're talking about here then is being teachable, being flexible, accepting of God as the supreme expression that you want to have in your life. So being meek is being teachable, being flexible, being open, being receptive, accepting of God as the supreme expression in your life. Because friends, if you think you know it all, you will surely miss out on a lot, right? You will miss out on that ever unfolding aspect of life and growth. It's a greater unfoldment that is always taking place. You're going to miss out on the divine intelligence that is there. You'll miss out on the expansion of life or the growth producing essence and experiences of life, because life is always unfolding. It's greater and greater and more, but we will miss out if we think that we know it all. You will inherit very little with a closed mind, right? And a closed hand and fist too, but you'll inherit very little with a closed mind. What I am probably finding out now is that the longer I live, the less I know. I really am coming to that understanding that, you know what, I thought I knew a lot, especially when you're in your 20s. Ooh. Didn't you think you knew it all then? I got this thing called life handled. Well, life has taught me a few things. And the longer that I live, I'm recognizing, ooh, there is so much more to life. And I don't know as much as I think I do. And what I found with this new thought, wisdom, and understanding that's coming through the blessedness of growing older and wiser, there is something that says growing older and wiser. I'm finally, I have to just finally admit that I'm at that place where I can say, okay, I'm wiser, which means I'm getting older, but that's all right. I either have that choice to do it or not do it, and I think at this point I want to choose to do it. Okay, I was laughing at somebody that had some shocking revelation when they sent me something, and the government sent me something in the mail, told me to sign up for something. I was like, what? What are they talking about? I ain't there yet. And then my health care insurance sent me something, said you need to sign up in 3 months. I'm like, what? So I'm having a revelation that apparently I'm getting wiser. It's a good thing. But what I've come to understand in this revelation is that I don't really have to struggle any longer with who's right and who's wrong and how they're doing it and how I should be doing it and what's, because all that's just a matter of opinion. See, when you're younger, you really get vested in your, you know what I mean, your thinking and your position and your stance in life, and that's okay. But when I'm older, it's like, I don't care anymore. If you want to think that, blessed be you. You know, I don't have to fight you. It's like, I just, okay, fine. If you want to think the world is, you know, flat, hey, bless you. Bless you. It's a wonderful thing because it's just all a matter of opinions and perspective. And what happens is we get locked into those opinions and that perspective. And what happens, we start becoming narrow-minded. And so instead of traveling the narrow pathway, we become narrow-minded. And there's a difference between being focused and single-minded on your path and being narrow-minded and closed, right? When I remain teachable, that's when I gain access to infinite possibilities. If you are closed, you will not access infinite possibilities. You will not access the wisdom of the universe that is there for you. You will only catch a small glimpse of it. See, so when I'm open and I'm teachable, then I have access to what is infinite and all the possibilities and all the various perspectives. My consciousness then is truly able to expand and to understand and take in new ideas and new perspectives and new visions and greater visions. Wow, I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know that was there. Just to keep growing and expanding. Because the definition of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, by now you should understand that heaven is not just a physical place, but it is a state of consciousness that is ever expanding. The kingdom of heaven is a consciousness that is growing, that is infinite, that is inexhaustible, that's expansive, right? And when we touch heaven, we touch those high states of consciousness and we move into higher and higher and higher states. We grow and we expand greater and greater and greater and greater ways. And so what happens is we want to be able to, friends, to grow and to experience more of what Jesus called the many mansions of my Father's house, meaning the many levels of consciousness, right? In God's house, in God's consciousness, awareness, and presence. And so I want to be able to experience, okay, I've got this one. What's the next one? Oh, more. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. So that tells me that even Jesus as the Christ is still evolving, growing into greater and greater aspects of being one with God. So what I want to do is experience that. I want to be open and receptive and teachable, because when you are meek, when you are humble, when you are open and receptive and teachable to God, the Holy Spirit will take you to higher and higher and higher understandings and revelations. Jesus would say to the people, he said, you can't take everything that I know right now because it's too much for you. And so we're trying to grow. I want that. Okay, but what do you know? I want to get there. I want to take in more and more of God, of the good, and have greater and greater understanding. And so what happens is that when we are open and when we are meek, that is that we are then open to the consciousness of God's goodness. And when you're in that state of pure openness, you inherit the earth. You inherit, you're able to then receive the goodness of God. You inherit these wonderful divine ideas that will then bless you, because if you're in a high consciousness, you're going to get high thoughts. You're going to get creative thoughts. Okay, do this, do that, do that. Oh, yeah. Instead of us trying to think it through and work it out, just get into the higher state of consciousness and God guides and directs. The Holy Spirit leads you to places you didn't think you could go to. He'll open up doors that you didn't think were available to you. He'll make a way out of no way so that you can't foresee except to be in this high state of consciousness. So what happens is when you are meek like that, you begin to inherit the earth. You inherit these divine ideas that will bless you and prosper you and lead you down the good road to life. Now, the Message puts it this way. Remember, I've been reading some from different versions, and this is from the Message, which is the Bible called the Message. And it says this. Let me find the right one here. You are blessed when you are, this is for blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And they say, you are blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Proud owners. Now, I love this particular version.
Yeah.
I love this interpretation because clearly what it's saying is that meek clearly isn't being uncomfortable with who you are. Because what did it say? You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. Blessed are the meek. You're content with just who you are, no more, no less. And that's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. So what that's saying is that being meek clearly isn't about being uncomfortable with who you are. It's not about being shy. It's not about being insecure or retiring or afraid of standing up for yourself or speaking for yourself. Mm-mm. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. Right? Isn't that one? I can say to somebody, I don't have to be any more or any less of who I am. That's a powerful thing. I don't have to be any more than you think I ought to be, or nor do I have to be any less than I think or you think I have to be. No more, no less. It's a powerful thing because what happens is oftentimes we try to be more than we are. Have you tried to be more than you are? Have you tried to live outside your own being, right? Trying to be like someone else. You may do it for a while, but it never lasts. You can't be like someone else, trying to be more than who you are. Or sometimes you might even feel that you should be less, try to feel less than who you are. Sometimes I find myself, you know, saying, you know, the way I am, I'm too much sometimes. I'm too much for some people. You know, I'm a native New Yorker, Brooklyn girl, and sometimes all my Brooklyn stuff comes out, right? And I have to remember I'm living here in the South, and sometimes my being is too much for people. Because I just come out, you know, I just say it and just do it because that's how we function. And then I realize, oh, I'm too much for that. All right, this is too much, right? Or sometimes I might feel that, you know, being in the position of a minister is hard because if I say something to you, people get so hurt and offended that I've said something. Then I say, oh, my goodness, well, that was too much. See, it was too much. So then I try to say less. I try to say less what happens so that they can feel good, that they'll feel like they're more. But then I end up feeling not quite right because I'm not speaking what? My truth. And so it doesn't work. See, so you don't have to be outside of yourself or live outside of who you are. You don't have to show up like anybody else thinks you should or want to because you can only be true for you, to yourself. You don't have to try to impress others with how great you are or how smart you are, right? Or how rich you are. We all have those people in our lives who've got to tell us how great they are. how smart they are, how wonderful they are, and that's fine, all right, but you don't have to tell everybody if you have to tell everybody. You know what I'm saying? Then something's not quite right. The fruit, the tree is known by its fruit. So you shouldn't have to say a word. Your life will show people who you are. You don't have to tell them. You know, you demonstrate that. So what it is, nor do you have to be too much. You don't have to be self-effacing either. You know, you don't have to be a shrinking violet. You just have to be content with who you are. Because here's the key, friends. Because when you know who you truly are, not who you think you are, who you think you should be, but when you are content with who you truly are, you know where I'm going with this, right? When you truly are who you truly are, then it says, the scripture says, that's the moment that you will find yourself a proud owner of everything that can't be bought. When you know who you truly are, when you know that you are a divine emanation, creation, and expression of the divine, not just lip wording it and thinking it and understanding it through lip service, but when you know that you are a divine expression, a divine child of God, then all of a sudden you begin to inherit those things that can't be bought. Things like love and peace and truth and harmony, all those gifts that really round out our lives, right? And what it is when you begin to know who you are as a child of God, then you all of a sudden you recognize you have everything you need. You have the presence and power of God at work, at your fingertips. You just need to speak that truth, call it forth, claim it. All of a sudden, you begin to inherit the earth. Joss Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, says this. He says that our divine inheritance, that which we get from God, are divine ideas. We don't get things. You don't get trinkets. God is divine mind, the creator of all that is, gives us divine ideas which are full and complete and whole and infinite in and of themselves. That's what we get. And so when we take these divine ideas, peace, love, truth, happiness, whatever it is, and we take those ideas and bring them into our being and incorporate them into our consciousness and become aware of them, then we begin to create. We begin to create our lives. They begin to unfold at the level we are holding on to this truth. That's when we know we are blessed and we are prospered. We take a high thought and you bring it into manifestation, into the earthly realm. That's your gift as a co-creator. You're a co-creator, right? God gives you the idea and says, hey, have at it. Here's the infinite idea of abundance. Now you create with it. Here's the infinite idea of love. You create with it. We said, well, Lord God, can you just bring me $1 million? He said, I'll give you some $1 million ideas. I laugh at myself because I've had so many $1 million ideas that I just let pass through. I'm serious, pass through my, like you all have as well. We don't grab them. Some people grab them, act on them, bring them into what? Manifestation. And we look at them and say, I wish I could be like that. Well, you didn't do what they did. Do it. This is the way that it works. So when you are true, and you know your true and your divine nature, and you begin to be content with that knowing, content with who you are in God, comfortable being a child of God, comfortable being secure in God and secure in the truth, then you will own all of those things that can't be bought. You'll own peace and happiness, right? Well-being and abundance and health and joy and wisdom. Because owning these ideas, see, I'm not talking about knowing them like just a passing level. When you own them and you start to demonstrate, when you own them, then you're living in and from the consciousness of those ideas. Your life must radically change. You must begin to demonstrate in the earthly realm that which you say you own. It's powerful. Inherit the earth. Bask in these wonderful God principles and truth. Everything begins by being meek, being teachable. So your assignment for this week, should you choose to accept, it's not impossible, it's not mission impossible, this is possible, but to really take note of how teachable are you? Where do you find resistance coming up in your life, either through people or your situations at work or whatever? Begin to see, am I meek? Am I teachable? Am I open and receptive? Or am I resistant? Or am I, you know, knowing it all? I want you to just begin to practice this concept of being meek, which is being teachable, this whole week. In the meantime, I want you to also open up and to begin to accept the truth of your being, the truth that is inherent in you, that is placed in you, that's your blueprint of the goodness that God already has ordained for you. The moment you took a breath, you were already ordained in God's essence of life and goodness. You are already marked for greatness, right? You are the king's kid. And so you have to remember that you're here to inherit the kingdom. I'm the king's kid, and I'm going to inherit the kingdom, right? And so it is. Amen. Namaste and blessings.